Father, into your courts I will enter. Maker of heaven and earth, I tremble in your holy presence. Glory, glory in your sanctuary, splendor and majesty, Lord, before you all I
turn with us over in Psalms, the 15th chapter. So good to see you in the house of the Lord today. Amen. And I see a couple of faces I hadn't seen before. Make yourself right at home. A couple of faces I've seen in a while. I can see Andy back there. Amen. Good to have everyone here. Amen. Most of all, the Lord. Psalms, the 15th chapter and verse number 1. We feel the Lord has laid upon our heart for this service. He asks a couple of questions here in verse number 1. He said, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall dwell in the holy hill? Pretty good questions, isn't it? In other words, in short, he said, Lord, who's going to heaven? That's what he's saying. You know, the Lord might have answered back and said, he that's part of Deliverance Tabernacle Ministries. But I don't think it's what it was. He that's part of the Baptist organization. I don't think that's what it was. Who's going to heaven? He that's Pentecostal. I don't think that's what it was. He that's good looking. I don't think that's what it was. He that's got a lot of money. He that's poor don't have anything of the world. Nope. None of those things, is it? That's what he answered. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle and who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Who is going to heaven? That's what we're going to find out this morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for who you are. We ask God that you would show your presence here in every heart today. Lord, under the sound of my voice, Lord, we don't know that we would ever meet together in this forum again. We don't know, Lord, that if we would have another chance to stand in the pulpit to spread the word. We don't know if we would have the privilege to sit under the voice of the word being spoken to us again. But Lord, I know in every one of our hearts this morning is a question, who is going to heaven? And are we prepared? Father, I'm asking, Lord, that you would help every one of us in this room in the other building, Lord, as well, to search our hearts today before we leave these grounds, we'd find the answer to this in our individual life. In Jesus' name, amen. He says in Revelation in the 21st chapter in verse 3 and 4, he says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Sound like a place I could go to. Sound like a place you would like to go to today. Isn't there a lot of pain in the world? Isn't there a lot of you know, deceiving going on in the world? A lot of, you know, all these things. There's a lot of death going on. A lot of crying and a lot of sorrow. But I'm going to a place that there'll be no more times like that. Amen. There's an opposite to heaven, and it's called hell, or eventually the lake of fire, and we know about it. It is the opposite. It is a place of sorrow and crying and pain. It is a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. It is a place of pain and torment day and night. Amen. Don't want to go there. I don't want to find out how to go there. I want to find out how to go to heaven. How about you? Revelation 21 and 23, he says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are what? Saved. Are you saved this morning? You know, you ask the world, ask someone in the world, said, are you saved? They say, from what? Well, number one, the wrath that is to come upon this earth. But number two is, are you saved from your own self? Sometimes we are our worst enemy because we are so hard-headed and we're set on doing things contrary to what God would have us to be. We become our own enemy, our own worst enemy at least. He says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. But it says in verse 27 of the 21st chapter of Revelation, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. That means unclean or unholy, or anything that associates with unclean and unholy, or anything that resembles unclean or unholy. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination, that is idolatry, anything disgusting, or maketh a lie, that's falsehood or untruth, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. You see, when you accept Jesus Christ, when you repent of your sin and accept Jesus Christ into your life, then your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And not until then. It is not when you join the church. It is not by Deliverance Tabernacle or Jedburg Baptist or the First Baptist of Somerville or a Pentecostal or anything else. It is when we accept Jesus Christ after we have repented of our sins that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. We used to sing that old song around the church. When the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up. You know what roll he's talking about? The book of life. The Lamb's book of life. That's the roll. Is your name on the roll? See, I'm into rock and roll. My feet's on the rock and my name's on the roll. I'm in the rock and roll. Amen. Oh, yes, Lord. John in the 3rd chapter in verse 3, Nicodemus is asking Jesus about being born again. Jesus tells him and he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't understand why people come to church. You can't understand why someone would dedicate their life, you know, to preaching the gospel. Amen. You can't understand why people are always at anything going on in church. It's because they have been born again. They see the kingdom. They can see into it. They understand. But then he goes on and he tells him, when Nicodemus says, how can a man when he's old enter a second time in mother's womb? See, he's thinking fleshly. Jesus talking spiritually. He said in verse 5, he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. Who is going to heaven? He that is born of spirit and water. What does that mean, brother? He that is sanctified. He that is holy. He that is pure. That's what he's talking about. Jesus himself telling this. We understand that and we know it in the church world. But yet we in the church world put everything ahead of God. And then we say, oh, I'm going to heaven. Are you? Are you? Say, brother, are you a hard preacher? I'm trying our best to get us to heaven. Best way I know. Amen. Best way I know. Glory to God. Jesus said in John 14 and 1. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Amen. I ask you this morning, the question of this hour is, are we ready? Are we prepared? Because he said he's coming back in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It's not that we're going to have a time to get all prepared. But he says, I'm coming back for those who are watching and waiting for me. Those that are ready. He's not going to hang around and say, hey, y'all get ready, church people, because we're fixing to take out of here. He says, be ready. Be ready. Remember the parable of the virgins. Five foolish and five wise. They had the oil in the lamps and some did not. Some was prepared, some was ready. So the question asked us here in Psalms the 15th chapter, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall dwell in the holy hill? He's asked this question, who's going to heaven? The answer is not rich or poor, not famous or not so famous. Verse 2, he answers it, he that walketh uprightly. Are you walking up? Look at the one next to you and say, are you walking uprightly? If you're not, friend, we need to stop right here. We need to just stop right here and don't proceed any further. If we're not walking uprightly, no need to read the rest of it. We just need to stop right here and get this right. Well, what is uprightly, Brother David? If you'd been here Wednesday night, you'd found this out. Uprightly means entire. He says in Mark's Gospel, the 12th chapter, verse 30, he's talking about here when he tempted Jesus, which is the great commandment. And he said there's two. One is that you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. How many loves God with all your heart? In other words, there's no room for anything else. It's with all your heart. Think about it. Don't think about the one next to you this morning. Think about you. I'm thinking about me. With all your heart. Jesus has said, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your mind and all your strength, everything that's in you, is it all about God or is it other things that's taking place and there's no room in your life for Him? Remember when they came to the inn, Joseph and Mary, and they knocked on the inn door there and said, hey, we need a room. And there was no room for the Savior of the world. That's happening in men's lives today. There's no room. I ask how we come prepared to church. I was thinking as I was sitting over there, of through the years, that I'm kind of a slow learner sometimes. When I read something, I don't just, like some of y'all are real good at just reading something, got it like that. It takes me a while. Sister Connie says, just about every time I study, she said, how can you sit there that long? She got to understand, if she was like me, she'd have to sit there that long. I mean, hours. You say, what, them little messages you preach, it takes hours. Yeah, it does. I'm sorry, but it does. Hours of study, hours and hours. Can you think of 20-something years preaching? Hours and hours and days and months, when you add it all together, of study. To get prepared for the service that I can preach what God is speaking to me and you. It is not something I got off the internet or out of Reader's Digest, but it's what God is seeing in our hearts. And He's speaking to us to get us ready. Who is going to heaven? With all your strength, entire. Is your entire life about God? Or is it Sunday morning? I got to hurry up. Oh, God, I got to hurry up. Get to church. What happened Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? He's on the back burner. He's the spare tire. Well, let me tell you, if he's the spare tire, one of these days you're going to be broke down on the side of the road. He said, no worry, no worry. I got him in the trunk. Got him in the trunk. And you pop that trunk and look in there. He said, where's he at? He ain't here. Yeah, he says that if you mock me, and then when the calamity comes, I'll mock at you. I'll laugh at you. Come on. God's not a puppet on a string. He owns us. What does uprightly mean? Uprightly means integrity. What is integrity? Integrity is doing the right thing when nobody's looking. That little boy and his daddy out in the watermelon patch. And daddy said, son, you stay here by the road. You look both ways now. He goes out and he steals him a watermelon. Anybody coming? You see anybody? I know. You look both ways, son? Yeah, I look both ways, daddy. But you forgot to look up. See, integrity, someone is all. My dad told me, I'll never forget it. I didn't know what he's talking about. When I was a little bit boy, he said, son, everywhere you go, don't never forget this. Someone is watching your life. Most of the time, it's another human being. But look here. If you're in the middle of the woods somewhere and you're going to have an evil thought and you do something evil, my friend, you think nobody will find out. God knows and He sees and He'll bring it out on a mountaintop and it'll embarrass you. It cannot be hid. Everything secret will be revealed. God knows where we live in, friends. Uprightly means truth. Uprightly means without blemish, without spot, undefiled. He said in Ephesians 5 and 27, he said that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Fellas, what if you were standing here as a, you know, as the groom, and you look and the bride, the door's opening, and the bride's about to walk through, and the door opens and there's mud all over her gown. It's torn. When she comes up beside you, you still look kind of like, who? Her hair's all messed up. And she got a stench about her. Would you go through with it? Preacher, we're going to have to talk about this a little while now. Well, look at the church world. What is the church world offering to the groom? Come on. I've done a lot of weddings, you know, and I'm telling you, them brides, they got to have every hair in place. They got to make sure that train is just right. Everything's, I've seen some of them so picky, it almost get on my nerves. And they want to make everything just right. Well, I'm telling you, that's the way the church ought to be, that we ought to be just right. For he cometh, the bridegroom cometh. Hallelujah. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, worketh righteously. Righteousness is rightness. That we do rightness. We do the right thing. Doing right, whether it's naturally, morally, or legally. Oh, but legally I could do this. Well, is it the right thing? Amen? Is it the right thing? You might have a legal right, but is it the right thing? Can you lay down at night and sleep that your conscience is not crawling and eating at you? Is it the right thing? He speaketh truth in his heart. That's trustworthiness. That's stability. That's faithfulness. When you tell someone, do you keep your word? Do you speak what's right? I remember a time back years ago when I had a real good paying job at Alimax out there as a supervisor, rode around on a cart, had it made. And it's a little lady who was in the trailer, shortly after moving the storefront, was in the trailer. She told me, she said, when I die, Brother Whitfield, I want you to do my funeral. And I says, well, okay, I'll do it if I'm still around. Boy, you better watch what you say. That lady died. And the other supervisor of our department was at a TV interview somewhere, and my boss was gone on vacation, and his boss, I went to him and I said, hey, I got a funeral to do, man. I need off. He said, I can't let you go. I ain't got nobody, he got no supervisor, no supervision. Uh-oh. I came home and I sat down and had a powwow with Sister Connie and Katina and Brian. Let me tell you, I could vision myself on the side of the road with a truck, with a load of watermelons, selling watermelons out of the back of that truck. I'm not degrading that. I'm just telling you, there's a way to make a living, and I was going to scratch it somehow. Come on. Because I'd made up in my mind that I was going in the next morning, and I was going to tell that man, I quit this job. Why? Because I told that woman that I'd do her funeral, and I got to keep my word. I speak truth in my heart. If I tell you something, no matter what it costs, I'm going to try my best to keep what I tell you. And when I told God I'd serve him back years ago at that altar, I said, God, I'll serve you. I have tried my best to keep what I have committed to him. And he has tried his best to keep what he's committed to me. What does it take to go to heaven? Exactly what I'm telling you. There's no two standards, one for the preacher and one for the deacon and one for the members. In fact, the minister, I'm the smallest one in here this morning. He said, he that's going to be great, let him be least. I am your servant today. I'm serving you. I'm waiting on tables today. Are you with me this morning? Verse 3, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach. Let me finish this story. Don't let me quit in here. I hate it when somebody starts a story and don't finish it. I went in the next morning. I already talked with the family. I told them this is honest, God's truth. I know Claudia was praying. If she's ever prayed, that was one of them. And I think Tina and Brian was really praying too. Amen. I went in the next morning and I walked into my boss's office and I sat down in the chair and I told him, I said, look here, you know, I got that funeral today and you done told me I couldn't go. He said, well, I tell you what, you just get everything taken care of and all lined up and you just go ahead. I said, thank you. Thank you. Buddy, I would have done it. I would have said, well, I quit. I don't have a choice in the matter. From now on, I learned better than to say I will if I'm still alive. If everything works out right, I will. All right? He that backbiteth not, that means to slander. He that's not a talebearer, spreading everything bad. In other words, we need to try to look for the good in somebody. It's easy to find the bad. Come on. I can look at every one of y'all and find something bad. Because I'm looking at you. Amen. I mean, we need to be more like God and be like the sculpture that looks at that big old jagged rock. I mean, every one of us, when we came to God, looked like that old jagged rock. And everybody looked at us, what in the world? That's the ugliest thing. That's an awful looking mess. But that sculpture said, I see something beautiful in there. Amen. And we say, what in that? And that's what God looks at me and you. And he says, I see something beautiful in there. And every one of us in this room, I see something beautiful in there. And the world says, in that? But God begins to take, like that sculpture, and chisel away the old, unused, and unprofitable portions of our lives. Come on. The unrighteous, the unholy things. And after a while, there's a beautiful statue. And then everyone walks by and says, my, isn't that magnificent? It's the same rock, but it's the master had his hands on it. And we're the same rock, but the difference is God has come into our lives. Can we see it? What a difference. What a difference. You can find something good about everybody. There's this old fellow in town. He says, always had something good to say. Everybody that died, he'd come to the funeral home and stand over him and prophesy some good thing that they was, something good about him. One day this old fella died. He was a rogue. He was a deadbeat. He was good for nothing. In fact, the town almost shouted because he died. The funeral home filled up. We got him now. Ain't gonna find nothing good about that fella. He came in and all the noise stopped. He got silence. He leaned over the casket and he turned around and he said, he was a good whistler. Amen. You got to start with something. Oh, help us, Lord. Let me move on. Y'all didn't like that joke. That's one of them Ed jokes about. I want my money back on him. Ed, not with us this morning. Had a facelift this week. Facelift. He told me, he said, Brother Dave, I'm going to look forward in the 40s and you're going to look the 60s beside me. Of course, they had a lot of stretching to do. In fact, I never noticed that little dimple he had on his chin, but that's his navel. No, he just had his eyes done, that's all. Listen. Oh. Nor doeth evil to his neighbor. Look at me doing evil to my neighbor, Ed. That means bad. Neighbor, what is a neighbor? Said Brother David, I haven't written back before. You know, when houses was further apart than now. But neighbor is your associate, your husband or wife, your companion, your business partner. Your brother in the church, your friend, or just any other fellow. That's what he's talking about. He says, Let me go on here. Nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. He don't disgrace his neighbor, defame him or blaspheme him. Verse 4 it says, in whose eyes a vile person is, this is people going to heaven, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. He said, listen, that means it's hated. Evil, wicked, vile is hated. We ought not to embrace wickedness. We ought to feel uncomfortable hanging around sin. I've seen some church people say, well, I like hanging around with them. Well, then you must be like them. There ought to be a difference in us. We love them, but not their lifestyle. Amen. Wicked, that's what vile means, wicked. Worthless, good for nothing. It's like the dross. The dross and the chaff that is in the Bible talks about. He said in Psalms 1:1, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But we avoid those things. If you will. We go in and witness to them, but we don't live with them and hang out with them, because if we do, you'll become like them. But you bring them out of that darkness into your marvelous light with you. Amen. He says, but honoreth them that fear the Lord, will respect one another in here, right? He said, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. What does that mean, Brother David? That means that we keep our word or our vows, no matter if it cost us something. Amen? Amen? Just like I was telling you a while ago about leaving the job because I vowed something. David said it's better not to vow a vow than to vow a vow and break it. Don't vow the vow. Amen. Keep your vows. Keep your promises. Keep your word. When we stand before the church, I will support it to the best of my ability with my temporal means and my monetary means and my attendance. Amen. I'll be faithful to the church. I mean, don't make these vows if we're not going to do it. What good is it to lie? Are y'all with me? Boy, I'm hard on y'all all the time. I don't know why y'all keep coming. Get me out of here one day and get y'all a good pastor. I don't know. Verse 5 it says, he that putteth not his money out for usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Put it out to usury. In other words, what's he talking about? Not by extortion. In other words, you say, well, you're talking about charging interest on your money. I always look at it like this here. If someone wants to borrow money from you, this is the best way to keep any problems down in the church. Because there's some people in the church that'll borrow from you that won't pay you back. Did y'all hear me? In the church. There's sinners in the church just like there's righteous. Did you not know that? But if they come to you and want to borrow money from you and you don't have it to give them, you don't have it that you just would just give it to them, in that case, if they don't ever pay you back, it'll be no hard feelings, then just tell them, I don't have it to spare. You will not be lying. Amen? But what he's talking about here is people who will extort people by extortion. He's not meaning that someone who is industrious, who has worked hard and has taken care of what he has worked for and was responsible to take what he has and to have to spread the wealth over here to someone who is a bum, who will not work. There's some people who's lazy, won't work. I know there's some people that's not able to, and we help those. There's some people who is misfortunate, maybe in between jobs, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about there's some people who will not work in a pie factory tasting pie. Y'all run across some of them, hadn't you? The old saying, wouldn't hit a lick of a snake. I'm not going to take what I have worked for and take from my family to go over here and give to this man. It will not work. I'll feed his kids and stuff, but I'll tell Hip Bum he need to get out and do some work. If he don't know how to handle money, I'll sit down with him and try to help him to try to, not that I'm an expert in that, but I know better than that. Amen. Let me go on here. Look at the one next to you. Said, "Are you going to heaven?" What'd they say back? They kind of look at you, huh? Psalms 24 and 3. Listen, basically the same scenario here. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? I preached a message here a while back. Clean hands, y'all remember? Who's going to heaven is what he's saying in verse 3. Who's going to heaven? And then he answers it right here for us that we have not be puzzled. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He that has clean hands, that means not spotted with the pollutions of this world and flesh. He tells us in 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter, he said, "Know ye not that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God?" In fact, flesh is an enemy to God. Carnality, carnal mind. Galatians talks about that. Remember when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Some said that you're Jeremiah, Isaiah, John the Baptist, one of the prophets. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." This is in Matthew, the 16th chapter, if you want to know. "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you. But it was revealed by my Father." In other words, flesh and blood cannot receive the things. Flesh and blood don't care if you come to church or not. Your flesh, when you woke up this morning, probably told you to roll over. Beethoven. Roll over. In fact, I see some empty places in here. In fact, quite a few of them. Where we hadn't invited someone to come with us today. Oh, y'all not with me. They roll back over. Amen. They just don't want to come hear you holler at them. Could be something to do with it. He just got a pure heart. Our hearts washed from the wickedness of this world. That there's no secret heart impurities in us. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about we here in the church this morning, and we all can look holy. And we all can act righteously. And we all can shake hands and smile. But God sees down in here what is going on down deep inside. Are we really who we should be? Look at all the people that went with Jim Jones down to Gehenna. Is that where it was? Somewhere, not Gehenna, wherever it was. Jim Jones down there, and they drank poison Kool-Aid. They thought he was good, but in his heart, down in his heart, oh, he put on a good front. And there's a lot of people putting on good fronts. But what are you? A good front would not get us into heaven. It's who we really are. He that has not lifted up his soul to vanity. Do not set our affections upon things of the world. You ever seen them catch monkeys? They put a box with a little bitty hole in it. Put some food in there. And that monkey will go in there. And he'll look and he'll see that banana or whatever it is. And he'll take his hand like this. And he'll slide it in that hole. And he'll get that whatever fruit or whatever what it is and try to pull it out. And he won't come out because it won't fit. And while he's trying to get it out, they'll come up and grab him, throw a net on him or something. He'll see them coming. He won't let go of that fruit. He will not let go. As some people. He knows the Lord is coming. They know the Lord is coming. The end is near. But they won't let go of that world. They'll die with that world in their hands. Verse 5 and 6. Who's going to heaven? The ones that's got clean hands and pure heart. Verse 5, it said, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. What is the blessing? Heaven. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face. So often people in the church world, my God, are seeking God's hands. What can God do for me? No, seek his face. What is that? That's his words. That's his will. That's his commands. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Read the whole chapter. He's talking about food and raiment and clothing and everything of your life that people are out there, even this morning, trying to obtain. And it's bringing it home in his bags with holes in it. Haggai says that it's flowing out. As fast as it comes in, it goes out. But you see, God's hand goes under the bag when we come to him. And he holds it. Then he says, Selah. Is this the case you feel like coming to the music? Selah. You know what that means? That means a pause. It means to think about what we've talked about. Think about it. While you're thinking, listen to me. Isaiah the 33rd chapter verse 13, it says, hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion, or you could say the sinners in the church in the New Testament, are afraid. They're sinners in the church? Yes. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrite. And what are they saying? Who among us shall dwell with this devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings? Hebrews said, our God is a consuming fire. He answers it. Who is going to just be purified by fire? He that worketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. He that despiseth the gain of oppression. That shaketh his hand from holding robberies. No, I don't want it. That stoppeth his ears from hearing the blood and sheddeth his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high. What's he saying in these scriptures? He has struck a terror upon the sinners of the church. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. There are sinners in the church, hypocrites that enjoy Zion's privileges and concur in Zion's services, the church services. But their hearts are not right in the sight of God. Is he talking to us this morning, church? Don't think about the person next to us. They keep up secret haunts of sin under the cloak of a visible profession, which convicts them of hypocrisy. Sinners in the church will have a great deal to answer for above other sinners, and their place and the church will be so far from being their security that it will aggravate both their sin and their punishment. Now, those sinners in the church, though always subject to secret frights and terrors, were struck with a more than ordinary consternation from the convictions of their own conscience. When they saw the Assyrian army besieging Jerusalem and ready to set fire to it and lay it in ashes and burn with wasps in the nest, finding they could not make their escape to Egypt as some had done, and distrusting the promises of God had made by the prophets that he would deliver them, that they were at their wits' end and ran about like men distracted, crying, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? And who shall stand for us against this devouring fire? Who is in here today that can stand? Who is going to heaven in here today? Will you abide? How is it with your soul today? How is it with you? Say, brother, I'm young. I've got a long life. Man, don't talk like a fool. I've done funerals. From babies, teenagers, 20, 19, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Death is no respect of person. When should I get right? Today. Today. Don't you get a picture of this? Get a picture of people in the church that are sinners and knowing that they ain't right. Knowing if their heart stopped, they couldn't make heaven. They're convicted. They're scared. I'm saved and hell scares me. It's kind of like the Israeli soldier down in the foxhole. Total darkness. Don't you get it? I'm drawing a picture. And he sees a battle coming from over in Basra. Screams and hollering. Some kind of war going on. And he's over in a total darkness. And he's wondering what in the world is going on. What's going to happen next? And all of a sudden there's a hush, a quiet. And through the darkness he begins to see an image coming toward him. Swaying with greatness. Headed toward him. And he begins to cry out in Isaiah 63:1. He said, "Who is this that cometh from Eden with dyed garments from Basra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength." He said, "Who is this coming toward me? What is this I'm feeling in me this morning? What is this that's gripped my heart in this service?" That's what this Israeli soldier's saying. Who is this? Who is this King of Glory? Who is this walking in his bravery and strength and power? Strutting his stuff. And the image in the from the darkness cries back. And he says, "I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save." You know what he's saying? "I'm your Savior. This morning you don't have to go to hell. That you're feeling in you, God is saying, I'm here to save you today. I'm here. I have won the battle. I have defeated your enemies. I have fought and conquered them all. And I'm here for you today." That's what he's saying. Listen. The soldier goes on. He says, "Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? And thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat." He said, "What's all that red stuff all over you?" He said, "I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come." I'm telling you, today is a day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. Today is to get right with God and make up our mind if we're going to sell out to God or sell out to the world. I was thinking as I was sitting over there, as Sister Wanda was finishing her song, I said, what would be worse than missing heaven? And I know comes to our mind, what would be worse than missing heaven is our loved ones, our children. Love wants to miss heaven. But there's another thing. Worse than missing heaven is to sit in church all your life and miss heaven. That would be awful. See, that's the good news for you today. He says in verse 7, he says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." Who is this King of Glory? He said, "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." That's this King of Glory, and he wants to come into your life today. He wants to make it that one We could go to heaven. Lastly, in Daniel, in the 7th chapter, Daniel sees this prophecy. And he's foretelling it. It goes along with Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the image. But here is the different kingdoms represented by animals. He sees one as a lion that has eagle's wings that represented Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, Babylonian kingdom, that arose and fell. This is in your history books. Next was a picture of a bear represent the Persian, the Medo-Persian Empire. That when the Babylon Empire fell, it took two kingdoms to make up all the vastness of it. Next was a leopard representing the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great, because it's so swift and Alexander was such a conqueror. And after that, they saw a beast. It was indescribable. It represented the Roman Empire. And in the tribulation, it'll be the revised Roman Empire. And we see that it had 10 horns. And among those 10 horns, the 10 nations, among those, a little horn is Antichrist and his kingdom. All the other kingdoms is come and gone. And we're down to this little horn that'll rise out of the 10 nations over there. Antichrist. Listen. And then he sees where Jesus Christ at Armageddon will destroy Antichrist. And then he sees verse 13. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. All other dominions came and gone, but this one is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed. Let me tell you, look at this man right here. I am part of that kingdom. I am going to have part of that kingdom, amen. I'm going to live with God forever. I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I try my best to please him that has called me and put him first in my life. And if you want to go to heaven, you got to do the same. Who's going to heaven? Will it be you? Amen. All my heart and soul and mind and strength. I don't want nothing to distract me. Too close home. Too close home. I don't know where you stand with God this morning. But we started the service that says, who shall dwell in the tabernacle of God? Who's going to heaven? That little first one. He that walketh uprightly. We probably could have stopped right there this morning, reckon? Uprightly is holy, is pure, without spot or blemish. Uprightly is with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. With all you got, all the fervency you have to serve him that called you. Friend, if we're not doing that, I don't know if we're going to make it. I'm going to ask you to stand, and I want you to respond. I don't want you to sit there now. At least stand. I want you to respond this morning. Are you with me? I want you to ask yourself right now, just close your eyes. Am I prepared for heaven?